I don't know the size of your problem, but I know the size of your God.
If you've been saved by the King of all glory, you have access to the throne. If you've been adopted by the Prince of Peace, then you are safe from all harm. If you have been born again and you're covered by the blood, I don't need to know your problem, because friend, I know your God. If you've been saved by the King of all glory, you have access to the throne. If you've been adopted by the Prince of Peace, then you are safe from all harm. If you have been born again and you're covered by the blood, I don't need to know your problem, because friend, I know your God. I don't need to know your problem, because friend, I know your God.
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 Face ahead may not be easy. There may be some twists and turns along the way. But I'm thankful that my Lord, He leads me, and His guiding hand will help me stead as I trust Him every day. I'm walking by faith and not by sight, living for the Lord and doing what's right, knowing my sins are covered by the blood of the great I Am. No need to worry, fear, or care, for I know the Lord is always there. Let come what may, I'm on my way, I'm walking by faith. Sometimes I can see what lies before me, and I follow Him into the darkest night. But every step I take, He draws me closer, and I won't turn around, because I've found that Jesus is the light. I'm walking by faith and not by sight, living for the Lord and doing what's right, knowing my sins are covered by the blood of the great I Am. No need to worry, fear, or care, for I know the Lord is always there. Let come what may, I'm on my way, I'm walking by faith.
I'm walking by faith
and not by sight, living for the Lord and doing what's right, knowing my sins are covered by the blood of the great I Am. No need to worry, fear, or care, for I know the Lord is always there. Let come what may, I'm on my way, I'm walking by faith. No need to worry, fear, or care, for I know the Lord is always there. Let come what may, I'm on my way, I'm walking by faith.
The first who heard the call dropped their nets upon the shore. When asked to give their all, they surrendered to the Lord. Those ordinary Three fishermen weren't afraid to lose their lives. They knew surely he was worth the price. And the call is still the same. We must go in Jesus' name, taking up the cross, following God the shame. The call is still the same. Life of serving God always has a cost. For any faithful one, there's bound to be some loss. The disciples gave everything when they laid aside their nets. To follow him, our cost is nothing less.
And the call is still the same. We must go in Jesus' name, taking up the cross, following on the shame.
Good morning. Glad everybody. That's wrong. It's right at 10 right now. Yeah. It's a late. Not the right time. Good morning. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear precious God and Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we ask that you will guide, direct, and show us what we stand in need of. Lord, I thank you for the blessings and I thank you for the testings. And, thank you for the safety you gave the men as they went to Nebraska and back. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn to page 15:15. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, trying to live his blessed example. Happy, how happy ones that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, gladdened paths of light. Pressing more closely to him that is leading, when we are tempted to turn from our way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy is each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, gladdened paths of light. Walking the footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Looking to him, grace freely given. Happy, how happy our journey above. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of love. trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, but still upwards we follow our guide. While you shall see him, the King, in his beauty, happy, how happy is at his side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, letting paths of light. Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to page 19. Like a River Glorious. Page 19. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious is God in grace. Perfect yet with fuller every day. Perfect yet it floweth deeper all the way. Laid upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in a hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of worry touch the Spirit there. Stand upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stand upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, ma'am.
Amen. Well, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Hope you had some rest the last few days, had a wonderful Bible school, and Lord blessed, and we're thankful for that. 15 souls got saved. Come on now, 15 souls got saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Had a great Bible school. Thank you for all your help, labor, work, love, everything that everybody did. Thank you so much. It was a group effort, and we thank you. Thank you so much for that. Well, looking forward to today. We have missionaries with us, and so glad that God brought them along. We'll introduce them in a minute. Hope you'll be back tonight. You'll preach tonight and give his presentation, and she's going to sing, play the piano. We knew her family from, dad started a church in Denver, correct?
Yep.
And so, and still there, right? But your brother's pastoring it, right? Okay. All right. Well, you'll hear more from them tonight. And hopefully we'll have the VBS DVD tonight. And then if you're going to YouthCon, I have a couple permission slips for you. Please get those from me this morning. And I need your money, $50 a piece, and your two forms in by tonight. Because Monday you have the day off. Tuesday is election day. And I hope you'll get out and vote. We do have some voter guides, some pro-life voter guides that after the service, you can get them outside the church. We can't tell you or endorse others' candidates, but we can encourage you to vote biblically, amen, and that will help our Christian faith. And so when you leave this morning, there'll be a couple people out there with voter guides, and you can look at those, give you more information, so you can be an educated voter. There are some good things that you need to know about that, so that's will be outside. Tuesday morning, encourage those that are going to be here 10 o'clock or so, but 10:15, we are leaving, okay? If you're not here, you can walk. Amen. No, we are leaving at 10:15, heading out. You need to already have your lunch, your breakfast taken care of, because your first meal will be at 5 o'clock at Heartland Baptist Bible College. So please have your lunch taken care of. We will be back by noonish or probably 11-ish on Friday. And so pray for us. I think there's 21 going. Our shuttle went down, so we're going to have to rent a van, another van. Thought about just throwing the girls in the back of the truck, but they were complaining about that. They all got mad at me. So we will have, but the van that we found doesn't have air conditioning, so it's okay, girls. It's all right. They're going, oh. No, that's the boys. Anyway, no, we have to rent a van, but pray for us. Please pray for us. The traveling and the speakers, everything, please, 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 please pray for us. This Saturday, Operation Saturation Soul Winning, come and go with us. Sunday, August 23rd, back to school Sunday. And then Friday, September 4th, Alex and Leah are getting married here at the church, but it's at 5 o'clock, okay? We close at 8. Don't be late. Amen. So now be here at 5, and you all are welcome. Say, I didn't get an invitation. All the church families invited. There is an invitation as you walk out the lobby on the left-hand side. And so all of you are invited to come to that. There will be a reception after that. So pray for them as they get married. See, I think that's all. All right. Yes. Pray for my father-in-law. He's preaching in Oklahoma today. Really needs our prayers. Right, Edie? Amen. Amen. He's preaching in Oklahoma today all day, and pray for him. And then my mother-in-law fell and fractured her foot. Pray for her. And the rest of these, Brother Moyer had some eye problems this week, had to go to the hospital, so remember him in prayer. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our day. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we certainly love you, and so thankful that you love us. God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives today. God, thank you so much for our Bible school and for the 15 that got saved and for the others that heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Thank you for the three young men that came. Pray that you might bless them and be with them as they finish college and just be with them. But thank you for our workers, those that participated and did the work. God, I pray that you might bless him. But bless today, dear Father, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. Thank you for Brother David and his dear wife, and bless their ministry. God, I pray for YouthCon this week, that you might be at the traveling, the preaching. I pray for our kids, that you might speak to their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother David, come on up. This is Brother David, and he has a unique testimony. I wanted him to speak this morning because You say, well, I'm not raised in a Christian home, and you know, I didn't get to go to Christian school. Well, neither did Brother David. His dad died at age 3, and he didn't get to come to America till age 16. And then he didn't know a whole lot of English. He didn't enter a Baptist church till he was 18. And he still really didn't understand English, but the Lord saved him and called him to preach. And he did some time in the military to say thank you to America. And so I appreciate Brother David. And when he was here, he said, Pastor, what can I do for you? And I was teasing him. I said, we need to get that roof done. And he goes, really? And he was ready to roll up his sleeves. He did some things for me last night. So I appreciate him. And God can use anybody. And you don't have to, well, I wasn't raised, neither was David. And like I said, didn't enter a Baptist church, really didn't know about the Lord till after 18. But he got married, they got a child, heading back to the mission field. And I think God's going to do a good job. But thank you for being here, Brother David, and preach for us this morning.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor Swope and Mrs. Swope. What a kind and generous pastor and wife and family. We are really grateful and we're thankful to be here and allow us to come and to present our ministry work to you and to the church, and also to be encouraged. And we are very encouraged to be here. And we just encouraged this morning just to see you. And I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord, and to encourage us to be, you know, to edify one another and to encourage us one another. And I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here. And as Pastor Sop said, I wasn't born here. I was born in Burma. I grew up in Thailand. I'm not American citizen by birth. I'm American citizen by choice. I'm American by choice, and I'm very thankful for America, for the blessing, for the opportunity. There's no country on earth is like America. And I just want to thank America and thank each one of you for being good citizens and overall be a good servant of Christ. And that encourages me and my family. So I just want to say thank you. And this morning, I just have a quick time, about 30 minutes or so. I just want to get right into the Word of God. I want you to at least walk into the church, walk out, and have something to think about, to work on, or to be encouraged. So we are here to be a blessing and encourage to you as you encourage to us. And so I remember when I was a little kid, I shared the testimony with Pastor Mrs. Swope a little bit. I walked out. I walked into the church. I walked out. I have nothing to work on or nothing. The Word of God has not been preached to me. The gospel was not shared with me, and nothing about Christ, nothing about God. I walked in. I worked out, and I was the same person. So I don't want you to be that way this morning. So I want to encourage you in the Word of God. So not opinion or not what I say, but what the Lord said. So if you have a Bible, turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 2, this morning. The book of Revelations, of course, is, this is talking about seven different type of churches. In a sense, if you would, the application is seven different type of Christians. The church, the church were made out of people. So the people was, in a sense, a Christian. So seven different type of Christians. So right before we jump into the Word of God, let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Shall we? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much today and for Pastor and Mrs. Swope and also the church. What a genuine Christian and such a humility. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to use them to have a good health and to labor for you. And what an example, Lord. I pray that you will continue to use them in the city of Wichita, Lord. I pray for these people as they come this morning, Lord. I pray that you will use, be with them and you stir their heart. And Lord, show them what we need to work on together as be a better Christian, be a better servant, and also who we need to be as you show and lead us. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word. And I pray that you will be with us this morning. And then be with me as I speak. And Lord, I pray that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me a word of wisdom to say it. I pray we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth his seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. But if thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God. So as we see, the first type of the first church was the church of Ephesus. In a sense, that this is the first type of Christian. We saw them as a scheduled Christian. In a sense, the application is they are scheduled Christian. In a sense, they did everything right. They loved the Lord. I mean, they were Christian, and they do what they were supposed to do. But the Lord said, you hate the things that I hate. You work. In verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor. The Lord told them, Jesus Christ told them and said, I know your works and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. So the things that is evil, the things that is bad, you cannot accept them. In a sense, you don't tolerate with them. And then, yes, I know your work, I know your labor, I know your patience. I know the things that is evil you hate and you don't like. Yes, I agree. But the Bible said, and thou hast tried them, we say, they are apostles and are not, and thou hast found them a liar. Even though somebody professed themselves, I'm an apostle, and you found them a liar. And in verse 3, the Bible said, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. And for my name's sake, you got endurance, and your labor, you didn't quit. You didn't, you're not fainted, you're not quitting. But number 4, the Bible said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The Bible said, everything you did was right, but one thing that against you, you have left your first love. In a sense, they work hard, they go to church. In a sense, they did everything right, and they hate evil things, and they hate the apostle who claimed themselves apostle, and found them a liars. But the Lord said, everything that you hate, you dislike, and it is what you, I say that I did, and you did that, and I agree with you. But one thing that against you is you have left your first love. In a sense, they were scheduled Christian. They would do that duty, but in a sense, like in deep down in their hearts, they're not doing that because of 100% with the Lord. In a sense, you hate it. In verse 6, but this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Bible says, Nicolaitans is the one that profess himself, to be spiritual, but they're compromised, and in a sense, they serve the idols, and then they eat after they serve the idols. But he also practicing sexual immorality. In a sense, they are Christians, but in a sense, it's okay to sin a little bit. It's okay to do bad things a little bit. But in a sense, they are scheduled Christian. But the thing is that they let the creepy things, the things that draw them away from the Word of God, in a sense, allow them to come in and in a sense, drift them from, the right path. But the Bible said, everything you did was right, but one thing against you, you have left your first love. But as we see this morning, the challenge is, you go to church not because of your duty, or you go to church because of God. Right. Do you read your Bible not because what we're supposed to do as a Christian, or you read your Bible because you want to draw closer to God? Right. Or do you work very hard? Everything that you do, as a duty, as a Christian, you work very hard, not because it's right in our own eyes, or is it because you love God? or you have a patience. Everything that's bad and evil, you separate yourself, not because what's right or wrong, but because of your love for God. Or you hate sins because that's something that we're supposed to do as a Christian, or something that you love God. Is that because you love God and you hate sins? The Lord says God is love, yes, but he also hates sin. But as a Christian, we're supposed to hate the things that God hates. God loves people, but he hates sin. God don't play a game, or he's not tolerant with sin. He loves people, but he hates sin. In a sense, you know, the things that we grow up and we live in our pure life, or we try to do right, or we try to live right with God because of his right, or is that because you love God? But because the Lord said everything that you do was right because you have left your first love. In a sense, how are we supposed to love God? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And then we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. You know, the whole body, the mind, the soul, the heart, in a sense, God doesn't want, you know, anything from us. He died for us on the cross. He purchased us with his blood in 1 Corinthians 6:20. Jesus Christ purchased us with his blood. And he bought us with a price. Our life is not ours, it belongs to him. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:30, the Bible says we're supposed to live to honor and glorify God in everything that we do and say and eat and drink. Not to please ourselves or please man, but please God. Honor and glorify God. Number one, we see a schedule creation. Number two, and look at verse 8. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, write these things, say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know that blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast down some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In a sense, number two, we see a suffering Christian. A Christian who is not quit. A Christian, in a sense, they were physically poor, but in a sense, they're spiritually rich. But the Bible said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Jesus told them to say, I know your works. I know tribulation that you have been through. In a sense, we live in Christian life, we have faced tribulation. In a sense, you know, people mocked at us and disowned us or separated themselves from us, and we separate ourselves from them the same. But in a sense, we went through some of the things that, you know, in a sense, is not pleasant to go through. But and yet, the Lord said, the world hates you not because they hate you. They hate me before they hate you. There's nothing wrong with you, nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with us as a human nature, but because the Lord, the person we represent. Some that don't agree with him, somebody hate him. The Bible says, somebody don't like you or hate you, not because they hate you, but Jesus said, they hate me before they hate you. But in a sense, as a Christian, we're supposed to separate ourselves from the world. But the Bible says, if you're a friend with the world, you're enmity with God. But the Bible says, I know that works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. In a sense, they were poor in physically, but in spiritually, they were rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but they are synagogue of Satan. But, as we serve God, as we believe in God, we grow as a Christian, there's nothing that we can avoid, the storm that comes to our lives. Like but the Bible said, be thou faithful unto death. You know, I see some of you, senior folks here. You guys are a great example. You know, you may not say much coming to the church, but for being present, one day I look up to you, I will be faithful to the Lord until the day I die. You guys were faithful. That encourages, you know, me and all of us as a young age. But the Bible said, number two, we see the suffering Christian. And number three, verse 12, the Bible says, unto the angel of the church in Pergamos, write this thing, saith he that he which hath a sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast assembly block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will I give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving that he that receiveth it. So number one, we see a scheduled Christian. They left their first love. Number two, we see a, in a sense, a poor Christian. I say physically poor, but spiritually in faith, I mean, in spiritually rich. But they were not quitting. They were not give up, and they were not anything that they deserved the Lord. They were faithful. But the Lord encourages them, be thou faithful unto death. That's just suffering Christian. That's all, you know, that's one of the church that, one of the Christian or church that the Lord has not negative about them. And the third things we see is deceptive Christian. They be deceived. In a sense, they serve the Lord and they work hard and they do everything right. But one thing about this type of Christian, they let, in a sense, people that profess themselves, you know, come in and to influence them to the wrong way, and they serve idols, and then they eat afterward. Not just that, they were practice, you know, fornication, in a sense, serve God, but it's okay to be sin. It's okay to do that, you know. It's okay to do this. It's okay to serve God, in a sense. Just try to be compromised, in a sense. And the Lord said, I have few things against you, because you have, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that the whole doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the assembly block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So the Bible said they were allowed them, you know, to come in, you know, to the Balaam, to, you know, the doctrine of Balaam, to come in and to teach and to influence those people. But the Lord said, I have few things against you. And say, you also have 15, the Bible says, also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things I hate. But the Bible said, you do everything right, but one thing's against you. It said you have allowed the doctrine of Balaam to come in and to cause stumbling block, in a sense, to Christian, you know, of course, to Israel, and in the sacrifice unto idols and to commit fornication. But the Bible said, repent, in a sense. If you were that type of Christian, they said, repent, turn away, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them that had the sword in my mouth. And then as we see the Balaam's teaching, you know, some members to follow the doctrine of Balaam, which involved leading Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. And also in Nicolaitans, others to follow, you know, a group of, you know, people that you know, in a sense, you know, serve the Lord and love God, but in a sense allow, you know, Nicolaitans to come in and teach them and to practice, in a sense, you know, immorality, sexual immorality. But the Bible said, Jesus warned against them, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with a sword on my mouth. But I don't know about you, I just don't want to be in the bad side of God. Because it's, you know, even though we are try to draw close to God and try to please God, and it's already hard enough just to do the right things. Imagine if you're in the wrong side of God, to allow those people, you know it's wrong, you know it's wrong, and you allow those, you know, people, or you allow those things to come into your heart or your life anyway, and you'll be in the wrong side of God. And in verse 18, the Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, say that the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repent not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. In a sense, for the sake of time, as we see, they were soft Christian, in a sense. The first type of Christian, we see they were scheduled Christian. The second type of Christian, they were suffering Christian. And the third type of Christian, they've been deceived. They've been deceptive. And the third type, the fourth type of Christian, we see a soft Christian. In a sense, I know your works. The Lord's told them, I said, I know your works. I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith. And your patience and your works. But I have few things against you. In a sense, they allowed Jezebel to come in, suffered a woman, Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach him to seduce my service and commit fornication to a thing sacrificed unto idols. You know, as a Christian, we ought to, you know, guard our hearts and our mind, our soul, our body. But in a sense, I know your works, I know your love, I know your service, I know your faith. But one of the things against you is that you allow Jezebel. In a sense, they allow Jezebel to come in and to teach them and call themselves prophetess, but in a sense taught them in the wrong way. Jesus praises churches of Thyatira for their work and their love and their faith and service and patience. But notice the church, has grown since, they become Christian. But Jesus finds fault with them for the toleration of a woman called Jezebel, who claimed to be prophetess, but lead people astray into sexual immorality, eating the food that sacrificed unto idols. But the Lord gave him a warning. I said, I give her space. I give her a chance, in a sense, to turn away from sins and to repent. But she preferred the things of this world and promoted herself and to do what pleasure for herself. But the Lord said, he will kill her children. But if anything that is wrong with us and anything that's going on that we're not, pleasing the Lord with our lives and our heart, something that need to work in our lives that God's showing us, the Bible says repent. They said turn away and turn back, look back to God and turn back to God. God, it's never too late. As long as you're still alive and you're breathing, it's never too late. God gave us a chance after chance and after chance. But I don't know how many times I make mistakes, but God still loved me. He gave me a chance to work on, to be a better Christian, to be a better servant, to be a better father and a better husband to my wife and a better father to my daughter. But it's never too late, things that need to work in our lives. But Jesus always gave us a chance. But Jesus told them in verse 22 and 23, because she did not repent, Jesus warned her for a future of a great tribulation for her and those who commit adultery with her, kill her children with death, and the churches will know who is who is in charge, who is in control. God is our final authority. God is in charge. God is in control. God is the one who's created us. He blesses us. If we not please the Lord, he can take anything away. The book of Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Anything that we have, it's not belong to us, it belong to God. We're just good steward of it. The children that I have is not, in a sense, humanly speaking, it's my child. But if it's It's not going to be my child if it's not the Lord does not give that to me. All I did was just be a good steward of her, point her to Christ, and train and teach her, admonishing her to go to the Lord, be an example to her to God. But in many times, you know, we as a Christian, we can't be soft in 9 days. You know, it is already hard for us to try to please the Lord, but we need to be strong for God, for Christ. And the fifth thing we see is chapter 3. Unto in the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, say that he that hath the 7 spirit of God and the 7 stars, I know thy works, and that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Of course, you know, the life that we have now, the future is not, we don't know the future. The future does not belong to any man or in our hand, but is the Lord's hand. But 2 things can happen to us. One, we either face death. Second, or maybe the Lord will come again. One or the other. But us as Christians, we're supposed to learn and draw close to God and pray, read our Bible, draw closer to God. But the Bible says in the church of Sardis, and it said that this type of Christian, they are saved, but in a sense they are dead. And I know that thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. In a sense, no burden for the lost soul, no hunger for the thirst after righteousness, or no hunger for fellowship with other Christians to grow, and no answer of prayers. In a sense, they are dead. In a sense, I'm saved, I'm good. In a sense, I hear the word of God come in this ear and come on the other ear. And in a sense, this type of Christian, they are dead Christian. Be watchful and straighten the things which remain that are ready to die, and I have not found thy works perfect before God. But we need the Lord in our lives. We need God. We need prayers. We need to read our Bible. We need God more than anything, especially today, nowadays. But the Lord said, you hold a name, but then you are dead. In a sense, the Christians were dead Christian. They stopped growing. They were stagnant Christian. They have no burden for a lost soul. They're not hungry for soul that, you know, make a difference in APAC and well, the life that God gave them. Or this Christian has no more zeal and compassion for Christ. No hunger for fellowship, Christian fellowship. No liberty with Christ. No answered prayer, no relationship with Christ, no time for God, no time for work of the Lord. This type of people say, I'm saved, I'm good. That's it. I don't need anything else. And no need to read my Bible or live to please the Lord, but except I'm going to fulfill the lust of my flesh or live for my desire, for my lust, for my flesh. But the Lord said, I have few things against you. In a sense, be watchful, be strengthened. And the things that remain, they are ready to die. I have not found that works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how that is received and heard, and hold fast. In a sense, you heard it, you receive it. In a sense, stand fast, hold fast, and repent. And therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour come unto thee. And as in a sense, we see the stagnant Christian. In a sense, they're not growing. In a sense, they're stagnant and they'll go backward. In a sense, they'll die. And in the sixth type of Christian here in verse 7. Unto the angel of the church in the Philadelphia write, these things say the last, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the king of David, the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have sent before thee and the open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, We say they are Jews and are not, and but do not do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly and hold fast with thou hast, and no man taketh the crown. For the sake of time, this is the second. For the seven different type of churches, seven different type of Christians, only two that Christ had nothing against them. It's one of them were steadfast Christian. In a sense, I know thy works, and behold, I have sent before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, and thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. And this type of Christian, we see they have little strength, but and yet they were not. They didn't quit, they didn't give up, and in a sense that the tribulations or the storms coming to the church and the group of Christians, they will not give up, they will not quit. But in a sense, they hold fast, they stand fast for Christ, and God said, I will reward them. And in the seventh type of Christian here, my last point. And unto the angel, verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14, unto the angel of the church, of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith Amen, a faithful and true witness and beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I want thou wert cold or hot. So then, because of thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. For the sake of time, the last type of Christian we see, that lukewarm Christian. In a sense, they are not hot, they are not cold. God hates it, and he said he spewed them out of his mouth. They were not all in or they were not all out. Either as a Christian, we're either all in or all out. One foot into the world, one foot into Christian. God said he hates it. You're not hot or cold. Because of your lukewarm, he said, I'm going to spew you. He spewed them out of his mouth. And I said, this is disgusting. And I said, if something, you know, if you throw up or if somebody throw up, you're going to look at them and say, wow, this is disgusting, right? And this Christian, they're disgusting to, in a sense, they're disgusting to God. You are not cold, you are not hot, you are lukewarm in God's beauty. But we don't want to be that type of Christian. We don't want to be that type of church. Right. And we want to be a Christian or a church that grow, a church or a Christian that can draw close to God and please honor God. We honor God, God will honor us. But, this morning, I just want to encourage you. Now, what type of Christian are you? Are you a lukewarm Christian, or are you a steadfast Christian? Or are you a soft Christian, or are you a scheduled Christian? But we don't want to be lukewarm Christian. We don't want to be, soft Christian. We don't want to be scheduled Christian, but we want to be steadfast Christian. And we have little faith, but we keep going. We don't quit, we don't give up, but be thou faithful unto death. God said that's reward in heaven. One day we want to hear from God. Well done, the good and faithful servant. We're not going to hear that unless we have done well. So we have to be faithful unto death. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your words, and thank you so much for this morning, the time. Lord, I pray that you will continue to be with us, give us good day and good fellowship and good service. Thank you so much for the time, and I pray that you will increase our faith and knowledge and wisdom from above. And I pray that you will be with our time here. I pray we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All God's people said? Come here. How old are you?
32.
All right. How long you been married?
6 years.
6 years.
Almost six years.
All right. So you're 32. So you've been, when was the first time you picked up a Bible? 18?
Right, 18.
18?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's pretty good. Amen. And I appreciate you. And, you want to say just a little bit about your ministry, just real quick, where you're going and what you're going to do?
Okay. I was born in Burma, grew up in Thailand, came to the United States back in 2010. I never know who God is. I know he's existed, but I don't know who he is. But I know he's existed. But soon I prayed for the Lord's will, and I went to three different churches after I landed in America. And the Lord never gave me peace to go to those three different churches. And I decided to stay home, be in the world and of the world, and supposed to be a Christian. be a Christian and be in the Word and off the Word is nothing different. So I decided to stay home for 6 months later. I trusted Christ my Savior. So after I got saved, that's when I gave everything to the Lord. I love sport. You know, I love fighting and, you know, Muay Thai wrestling and kickboxing. And I love anything, you know, any sports, like play soccer. So I give everything to the Lord. And in 2012, I surrendered my life to Christ. And 2014, that's when he called me to reach the Irish people in Thailand and Burma. So in Thailand and Burma, three main religion is, number one, they're Buddha. They're Buddhist. In Buddha, they're Buddha. So they all, 99% of them are Buddhist. And the second is the animism. So they're animistic. They worship the trees, worship some sort of evil spirit. And the third thing is that, and they're, you know, Catholicism, which is very confusing. You know, different religion. They just accept everything, anything. And so the Lord has called us to go reach the unreached people in the jungle of Thailand and Burma. And there's a lot of people that, you know, need the gospel. Both between Thailand and Burma, it's about 135 million people that need to hear the gospel. And we went to a survey trip and we saw, you know, 67 trust Christ their Savior. Those people that saved have no place to go. They have no church, there's no Bible believing church, no church period. And so the Lord's called us, he has called us to go back to reach them with the gospel, to minister to them, to start, you know, win souls to Christ, to disciple them, and then train the nationals, train them. I'm one of the national anyways, to train them, and then so that we can start churches all over Thailand and Myanmar. Lord's willing, we will going to be back to Thailand and Myanmar by the end of next year or the beginning of 2028, so that we can start, you know, church right away and continue to teach and preach and to them. And not a week passed by without somebody calling and text us, hey, when are you coming back to, you know, to help us and to preach or to start a church? They were in desperate of needing the gospel, needed the Bible, and need God in their lives. And so only God can bring peace to us, amen? So that they were searching for direction and they were stuck all over the place and they just waited for us to come back. So in a sense, we're on deputation now for 2 months and we are 17%. Hopefully, within less than 2 years, we'll get back to them and minister to them. So continue to pray with us and pray for us as we're on deputation. Pray for our safety. Pray that we can be bold, proclaim the gospel to everywhere we go. We want to witness to God. Nothing that matters to God on this earth. The only thing that matters to God is what we do for him in the life that we have now. You know, only one life that we have soon will be passed. One die for Christ will last forever. So nothing that we have now is, you know, matter to God, but the life that we have now is very important for what we do for Christ. So we're going to go back and reach them with the gospel.
So you're going to be on the border of Thailand and Burma?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And they said they'll have ministries in both. And we were talking to them yesterday and kind of in the jungle. And my wife said, well, isn't there animals and stuff like that? And she said, no. Why not? Because anything that moves, they kill and eat. So anyway. All right. Well, we'll be dismissed. Thank you so much. And introduce your wife to us for us.
So this is my wife, Christina, is the person who led me to the Lord and taught me English. So my wife, Christina, of course, is the backbone of my life and my success in a sense. You know, in the Army, we say that, you know, the backbone of the Army is NCO. NCO is the backbone of the soldier or the Army. In a sense, in my life, the backbone of me or the success or for everything that's going on because of her. Of course, my wife, Christian's here, and we have a baby, Adelina, in nursery as well. Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Dear Heavenly Father God, we'll come before you. Thank you, Lord, for Brother David and his dear wife and his daughter. I pray that you might help them, dear Father, as they just started out on deputation. God, that you might speed that up and help them to be able to get to their field quickly. And God, do a great work for thee and see these win more to Christ. And the ones that have gotten saved, God, that they might be able to establish churches and teach them and train them from the Word of God. So bless the rest of our service today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now God's people said, all right, we'll be dismissed till church time.